list of books there, haven't you? Has everyone got a Bible? There's some in the back cupboard if you want to have a look in there. And we've got some sheets that have the books of the Bible listed on them as well. And if the children want to colour those in as well, they can. And then they've got another picture to colour as well. But I wonder how many of you know, if you didn't look, how many books, it did say in the video as well, but maybe you missed that. How many books are in the Bible? 66, yes. How many in the Old Testament? 39, yeah. How many in the New Testament? 27. Well, if you can work out the maths, can't you, if you've got the first two? If you're good at maths, anyway. Can anybody here name them in order without looking? Do you want to have a go? Daveen can do it. Oh, I like that. Volunteer, Daveen. Would you like to? That'd be wonderful, yeah. The minor prophets. Whoa. They're challenging, aren't they, those minor prophets? Well done. Anybody do the New Testament? Someone different? No? Nobody dares. Okay. First four books. Yeah? Yes, Molly? You can do six. Go on then. Hey, there you go. The next one?
Isaiah,
that's in the Old Testament, yeah. That's a really good book. Okay, so I wonder if you have a favorite book of the Bible. You know, a lot of people go, oh, I really love this book. But then, you know, another time they go, oh, I really love this book. You know, it might depend which one you're reading at the time, which one God's really shining some light on. But some people like treasure a book for a long time or maybe their whole life that they say, I really love that book. You know, we're very fortunate to have the whole collection of books. You know, the early church only had fragments. They had some books, and the churches collected those precious fragments, portions of scripture, until particularly the New Testament, until they could have more and more to try and get the whole of that was written by the apostles. And you know, there's still people in many countries today who don't have the Bible. Some don't have the Bible at all in their language. There's no books of the Bible in their language. Some people have sections, just some of the books of the Bible have been translated into their language, and translators are working on creating more translations so they can have all of them. And some people have a translation in their language, but they don't have access to it. And they're desperate to have those Bibles that's already there, but maybe the government is stopping them get hold of it, or there's a scarcity, there's poverty, they can't afford them, and all kinds of reasons why they might not have them. Just this week I read a news feed of Muslims in Iran were desperate for Bibles. No, they have a hunger, not even Christians, having a hunger for God's word. It recognizes something precious and truthful in there. And I wonder if we value every single book of our Bible. So I want you to do something this morning that might help you value each book a little bit. I want you to imagine that you don't have access to all of the Bible, but you can choose three books of the Bible. Just three. I've tried this in our house, and what a debate we had. So I want you to try and choose three that you would say, well, I'll as long as I can have those three, that's okay. Could you do that? What would you choose? Why would you choose those three? So would you get into little groups, maybe just four or five people, and see if you can agree on three books? Maybe you're on a desert island, you can only take three with you. Or, you know, someone's going to translate the Bible into your language and you have to pick the three you want. Which three would you pick? Make sure you're in a group. Let's not leave anyone out. Which three books would you take and why? Just give you a few minutes to get straight into it. Thank you. Okay, how are you getting on? Who's happy with their three? Okay, can you tell us which three you've got, Joe? Genesis, Psalms, and John. Okay. That's actually very similar to when Sarah and I were talking. We kind of were definitely wanted Genesis and a gospel. I was saying to Dennis, Collie, and Hazel here, I was not sure which gospel to take. I love John's gospel. It really got all those I am statements about Jesus in it. But like, I was thinking, how could I do without Luke and the prodigal son story? How could I not have that? You know, so it's very difficult, isn't it, to know which one. Were there a couple you really kind of struggled to not take that you really thought, oh, you had to leave out or not? You're kind of happy with those three? Happy, okay. Anybody else want to share? Yeah? Oh, why is that then? Yeah, I thought that's what you were going to say. Yeah? Okay. Yeah, so anything to do with Timothy. Okay, good. Yeah? Anybody else? Which three books? Yes, Thomas. I hope that hopefully that was helpful. Maybe you can go on thinking, well, what would I actually take with me if I could only take three books, or I could only have three books? And maybe it'll stimulate you. Maybe we should pray now, actually, for those who are waiting for Bible translations in their own languages, for those who have translations but don't have access to them. So maybe someone could just lead us in prayer for those who don't have the whole Word of God for various reasons. Would someone like to pray? Thank you. think Esther has been trained in the actions on Friday, so we'll see. By Abby, and Abby can't do it because she's on the piano, so. So Jesus told that parable. So, you know, it's no good just having the word of God or having his words, but you have to actually put them into practice. That's what that was all about, wasn't it? And Sarah's just going to share one last thing before we close.
You can't have a family service about the Bible without a good old-fashioned sword drill. So you all need a Bible. There are some on the back. If you haven't got one, you can use your phones if you want, but this is the deal. The app has got to be shut. Yes, you can use your phones as your swords, but it's got to be the same as everybody else from shut app. So you might be better off with the Bible. And you'll all be fine because Ellie's not here, and Ellie is the champion sword driller. So. Drill is where you have a Bible and you hold it in the air. Either way, we'll let you off. And I tell you a reference, and I tell you the reference twice, and then I say go. And you look for the reference, and you find the reference, and when you have it, you stand up. And then I'll call on whoever hopefully was the first person to stand up, unless they're the first person every time, and then I might mix it up a little bit. But all of these verses have a theme. And the theme is what they tell us about the Word of God or the Scripture or the Bible. It could be what it does or what it's like. So what we're looking for is that key word or phrase in it that tells us about the Bible. Now, if you don't want to like read, but you still want to just look the verses up, then that's absolutely fine as well. So the first verse, Bible's up. John 5:39. Wait for it. John 5:39. Go. Okay, Rachel shot up there quickly. Okay, so what do the scriptures tell us? What is the key to this one? Whoa. That they, through the scriptures, through God's word, we have eternal life because the scriptures tell us about Jesus. Okay, up, Bibles, swords to the ready. Romans 15:4. Romans 15:4. Go. Francis. Yep.
For every that was
can see that the scriptures, the Bible gives us hope because of what has been written in the past. We have hope. Next one. 2 Samuel 22, 31. 2 Samuel, Esther. 22, 31, go! Oh, Thomas has got it. Brilliant. We give everybody just a little mark. We give 22,
31.
Yes. 22. 22, 31.
Oh, 22.
Yes.
Ah.
Oh. Sorry. Has Matty got it? Come on, Matty. There you go. He is a shield for all who take refuge in him. This is an interesting verse. I think when I Google search this actual same verse comes twice in Samuel. Interestingly enough, the exact same verse comes twice. I wondered if it was a mistake. I didn't double check it, but on Google search it comes up twice. So the word of the Lord is flawless and a shield. I just think those things are just so brilliant. Okay, Psalm 12:6. Psalm 12:6, go. We'll let Molly have this one. Yeah, so the words of the Lord are flawless like silver. Okay, let's make sure our apps are closed in between.
Their apps are faster than mine.
They might have
been. It takes me longer to close the app than do anything.
Okay, let's. Psalm 33:4. Psalm 33:4, go. I'm going to let Glynis in a big loud voice. So the word of the Lord is upright and true. Okay. Let's. Brilliant. Very clever. Oh, it'll be all right until I move to a different chapter, Harry. Okay, so let's shake it up. Let's go for a tricky one. Micah 2:7. Micah 2:7. Go. Micah 2:7. Esther's like, I've got it here somewhere.
The font is too small.
Okay. Hold on, let Matty pull it up. There you go. Go for it. So the word of the Lord does good to those. Okay, we just have two more. Hebrews 4:12. Hebrews 4:12. Go. Wait a second, I'll let you read this one, Thomas. Well done. Just wait a moment. Thomas, just 1 minute. Okay, go for it now. Big loud voice. And we'll go with one last one. And this one sums it all up. Revelations 22, verse 6. Revelations 22, verse 6. Go. Rachel's clearly had years of practice. I'm going to let Tim read it because he's standing up and he's not caught one yet. Go for it, Timothy. Brilliant. Again, so this one tells us that the words are true, trustworthy. As I was looking at this, thinking about it, it's like there's so many verses in the Bible that just tell us what the Word of God is like. And they tell us what the Word of God is useful for. I mean, that classic one in Timothy, all scripture is useful for correction, instruction, correction, enlightenment, and something else. I used to know them all because I had pictures of training in righteousness. But you know, the Word of God is more than just a list of instructions. It's more than just a story of God's interaction with humans. It's more than just a really handy go-to guide for life. It's more than a collection of really good verses that you can trot out it for almost any occasion. And we see the phrase, the word of the Lord, or the scriptures through the Old Testament and New Testament so many times. When I was looking up for some verses, I just looked, the phrase, the word of the Lord, and oh my goodness, the book of Kings, the book of Isaiah, the book of Jeremiah, the book of Ezekiel, practically every other verse has got the phrase, the word of the Lord came, the word of the Lord. How many times the word of the Lord came to some of these prophets is incredible. And if some of you are bored over the summer, you could go through and read those, just Ezekiel, Jeremiah, and Isaiah, and see how many times it says the word of the Lord. But the thing is, the Bible isn't just a book. It isn't just a collection of words. It isn't just a way of living. It's the actual word of God. And it isn't just the word of God to the people who lived at the time the Bible was written. It's the living word of God spoken to us by the living God into our lives today. The Bible, as we read it, you know, God wants to just bring it alive into our hearts by His Spirit. He wants us to know what He wants to say to us as we read the Bible. He wants to speak directly into our lives. He wants to feed our spirits and our souls with the truth and the nourishment that His Word brings. When I was a child, I went from boarding school to home to the village of